Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 1. Had a great week last week. Appreciate all those that prayed for the Sheraton, those that came, answered the phone, talked on the mic, and some men in our church that jumped in and helped us out when we needed them. Appreciate that. And all the ladies that participated in cooking and all you did. It's just been a great week, and appreciate all those that helped out. We got to October the 1st this time, so I want to thank God for that. Hebrews chapter number 1, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this time you've given us today. We ask you now, Lord, to be with our midst. Lord, we know without you we're nothing. God, we need the Holy Spirit now to just direct us and lead us in this subject again of salvation as we try to conclude today. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that you allowed us as individuals to be in the right place to grow up. Lord, that we had the opportunity to hear your word. And God, allow your word to deal with our hearts and the Spirit of God to move in our hearts. And Lord, help us to realize that we were sinners. And God, that we needed to be saved. And God, that day that the Spirit of God dealt with us very strong and he allowed us to go forward and Lord, just call upon you, Lord, and in faith, trusting you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart and save us. Lord, the most wonderful day of my life, and I'm sure people here today that are saved could say it was their day too, the day they got saved. Lord, help us not to take you for granted. God, as Brother Bob already prayed, Lord, we know in the scriptures we see what Jesus went through to pay the price for us, Lord, that we could be saved. God, the death he went through, the agony, the pain, the shame, the reproach. Lord, no man can know what he went through. But Lord, thank you that your son Jesus went through it for me and went through it for us. He paid our sin debt that we could not pay. We rejoice in that today, God, and help us, Lord, to, as we continue now this study today about our great salvation, God, may you remind us every day of what you've done for us. Be with Brother Billy. Continue to help him, Lord, and others in our church that are sick. Those that cannot be here today, you know who they are. I pray, Lord, you watch over them, dear God. Have your will and way now, this time we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Chapter 2 now, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. This quarter we've been talking about so great salvation. We've been talking about some of the details of salvation. Again, I said today already, I'm so grateful today to know that we can be a child of God. We can become a child of God. We can have eternal life. How did you get saved? How did you get saved? And now, today we're going to look at how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? You know, it's one thing to be saved, is it not? But it's even more so important to know that you are saved. How do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Do you have a Bible answer? If somebody was come up to me or to come up to you and ask you this question, how do you know you're saved? Could you answer them? Could you answer them biblically? Could you give them a clear answer from the Bible? Well, we will look at the day today. Sometimes we speak of salvation as eternal life, having eternal life. We see that eternal life or salvation is more than just a feeling, folks. Salvation is more than just a feeling. Salvation is a fact. It's a fact. It can become a reality to mankind. All mankind can know and be saved. It can become a fact to them. And we see today, as we look at the Word of God, we're going to see, as we look at this thing about how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? You know you're saved, but how do you know you're saved? What is there in your life that reveals to you, it reveals to me that I know that I'm saved? That's the question today. You know, there should be something that reveals to us the fact that we know we're saved. And we want to look at the Word of God, because the Word of God gives us the answer to that. You know I'm saved because of the Word of God. The Word of God. We will look at some of those evidences today from the Word of God. First of all, take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar scripture, 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, notice, first of all, he is a new what? He's a new creature. First of all, to be in Christ, we are a new creature. A new creature. We're different from what we used to be. Okay? A person cannot be saved and not be different. We're a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, notice something else about this verse. It says, old things are what? Passed away. Old things are passed away. What is it talking about, old things? Old things could be a lot of things. Primarily our sins, the things we used to mingle in, like, and all this. These things are to be passed away. You know, we have no desire to do those things as a believer, as a born-again child of God. So first of all, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Secondly, we see that old things are passed away. And notice, last but not least, behold, all things are what? Become new. All things are become new. Now, how does all things become new? How does all things become new? Things are different now in our lives because we are saved. We're going to look at some of those things today. Turn with me to 1 John. Look at 1 John. First John is a tremendous book in the Bible on assurance. Assurance. There's 105 verses in this whole book, First John. And you find in these verses the word know or known, the word a form of know anyway, over 30 times in the book of First John. Know. You can know. The Bible tells us this time and time again. Now, What can we know? We see here that the writer, John, of course, we find he is talking about salvation, the assurance of our salvation. And we're going to look today at some of the evidences that we can know that we're saved. Why? How do I know I'm saved? First of all, we find in 1 John chapter 1. Are you good? Let's go to verse 5, chapter 5, first of all. 1 John chapter 5, a very familiar verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, John is writing to who? He's writing to Christians, right? He's writing to those that have believed on the name of the Son of God. He's writing to all Christians here. Now, what is he writing to us? He says, that you may what? What's that word? That you may know. Now, what is it that you may know? What is he saying that you may know? He says, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. What may you know? Look, it says, that you have what? Eternal life. Now, do you believe that? You're saved, you do. I thank God that we can know that we have eternal life. It's not a hope so, or think so, or maybe so. It's a know so. You see, John says, these things have written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Notice also, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So how can we know we have eternal life? By believing on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on Him and asking Him to forgive our sins and come into our hearts, you see. So we see here, as we look at these things today, evidences of knowing you're saved. How does a person know they're saved? You know, look at chapter 1. Back now, chapter 1. We're looking at some evidences in our salvation. I know most of, I've heard people say, to give their testimony about being saved, when they asked Christ to come into their heart, they felt like a big weight had been lifted off their shoulders. And that's a good description of what takes place, really. He takes our sins off of us and puts on Him, you see. But I want you to know something else. Since you've been saved, how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're saved? What's happened in your life? There's been changes in your life. Remember the Bible says, old things are passed away, until all things become new, right? All things become new. Now let's notice here, first of all, in chapter 1 of 1 John, look at verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. One of the evidences about being saved is you enjoy spiritual fellowship. Spiritual fellowship with God, with Christ, and with fellow Christians. You know, I enjoy being in God's house with God's people. I tolerated going to Sunday school and to church before I got saved. I went to Sunday school, I went to church, but I can't say I really enjoyed it. I was there because of my parents, primarily. Okay? But since I've been saved, I love to be in God's house with God's people. That's one of the evidences that we are saved, that we love to be in church. We love to be in church. You love to be in Sunday school. You love to be in church. Because of that, you know you're saved. You know, you have a purpose in your life. This is an evidence that you are born again child of God because you like fellowship with God, with Jesus, and also with other believers in your life. So we see here, first of all, this is a thing of fellowship. And in this fellowship, we rejoice because we have something in common as believers. We all have trusted Christ as our Savior. Excuse me. Therefore, He gives us joy in our heart. Joy that the world knows nothing about. A joy that sometimes we can't explain. But we have joy in our hearts because of this, you see. So one of the evidences that you're saved, you love to come to church. You love to fellowship with Jesus Christ and fellow Christians. You know, it's a joy to visit people in their homes and just talk about the Lord, isn't it? I like to do that. Because there's something about talking about the Lord that gives me joy. It gives me understanding of who I am because of God's grace, you see. So we see here, first of all, that we enjoy spiritual fellowship if you're saved. You like to be with God's people. Excuse me. Number two, look at verse number 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5. This then is a message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Another evidence that we're saved is that we are conscious, we are sensitive to sin. To sin. I don't like sin, do you? I don't like to be around it. It bothers me when I'm around sin. It bothers me when I have to go out to the world to go shopping or do some things we have to do in life. And you're around this thing called sin. Well, the evidence that you're saved is that you're sensitive to sin. You realize that sin is going to harm you. You realize that sin is not good for you. You realize that sin is why the world is in the shape it's in today. Okay? Because of sin. And when sin is in our life, it breaks our fellowship with our Father, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we don't want anything to do with it. We're very sensitive to the fact that there's sin in the world today. Therefore, we are cautious what we do. We're cautious where we go because of sin. We see here, when we're around it, we're uncomfortable. We're uncomfortable. Now, if sin doesn't bother you, if sin in this world doesn't bother you, you better check up and see if you're saved. You better check up and see if you're saved. Because I believe with all my heart, according to the scriptures right here, if we're walking in darkness, we're going to be troubled if we're God's children. We're going to be troubled. Because sin will disturb you. It'll move you. It'll bother you. Therefore, we are very sensitive to sin as a child of God. This is one of the evidences that I know that I'm saved. I know I'm saved because sin bothers me. It disturbs me. And I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be around it. I know I'm saved because also I enjoy spiritual fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, with God the Father and God the Son. I enjoy that fellowship with Him and with them. Now also, look at verse chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Another evidence. Look at verse number 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know Him. Who is Him? Jesus Christ. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His what? Commandments. If we keep His commandments. Notice also, verse number 4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a what? Liar. You know, I think about it sometimes. When you're out visiting, you talk to people about the Lord, yes, I'm saved, and all this. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. You know, God says they're liars. I don't say it. God says they're liars. If they know they need to go to God's house, and they don't go to God's house, they're liars. You see? And they know not the truth. And the Bible says here, and the truth is not in Him, not in them, you see. So we see, look at verse number 5. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. We are in Him, why? Because we want to keep His commandments. Now we know that all of us cannot keep all His commandments. We know that. But the basis one we can. By being faithful to Him, being faithful to His house, and all these things. So we see another evidence of being saved is we want to obey the commands of the Scriptures. We want to know the Scriptures, and we want to obey the Scriptures. This is an evidence that we are a child of God. Lost people don't want to know the Scriptures. They don't want to obey the Scriptures. Therefore, they're not in Sunday school today. They won't be in church today. They don't ever go to church. They're not saved. They're not saved. They have no evidence in their lives that they're children of God because they don't obey God in His Word. So we see here there are many evidences in 1 John concerning our salvation and how we can be assured that we are children of God. We are children of God because of things in our life. See, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are come new. That is the reality, folks, to a believer. Old things pass away, until all things become new. You see, I no longer want to go where I used to go or do what I used to do. I want to do what God wants me to do according to the Word of God. And see, this is evidence here also. Basic, obey the commands of God. Now notice also in chapter 2, look at verse 15. Another evidence that we're saved. Our attitude towards the world and the values of the world. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But that's a lot of scripture there. Excuse me. Love not the world can entangle a lot of things. You know, love not the world can involve a lot of things in this world. Now, we have to have things in this world to live, don't we? But there are things in this world that we're not to love. We're not to love. If we do, there's no evidence that we're a child of God. A child of God does not love things in this world. That's why, you know, as we have seen the last 50 years, 30, 40 years in life, so many things in the world change to try to defeat the Christian and live in the Christian life. Because everywhere you go, it's sin. It's sin, is it not? Therefore, we sometimes feel like Christians as being defeated. But folks, listen, there's victory ahead. Victory day is coming, and it's going to all be over with. So our attitudes towards the world and the values of this world change, you see. We focus more on eternal things, things above. The Bible says, lay not up treasures on this earth, but lay them up where in heaven. In heaven, you see. We're focusing more on our heavenly home than we are down here in this world in which we live, you see. Because we're children of God. We do not love this world. And the values have changed because we're children of God, you see. It's not what I want to accomplish for myself. It's what I want to accomplish for the Lord and for helping other people, you see. The most wonderful thing we can do in our lives is to help somebody else. Know Christ. So we see here more evidence about assurance of our salvation. Things are different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see here an attitude towards the world and sin has changed now since I have become a Christian. We also see in chapter 3, look at verse 2 and 3. In chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, we see another evidence here of our salvation. I can find it here. Look at verse number one. 1 John 3, 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the who? Sons of God. Therefore, if the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world knows us not because it knew him not. Now notice, verse number two. Another evidence here of the fact that we are children of God. Behold, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Purifies himself. We see here another evidence is that we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look for the Lord every day. I hope you do. He could come in today. But because I'm a child of God, I desire the Lord's coming. I say to myself sometimes, even so, Lord, Jesus, come quickly. You know? Especially in situations that we have to face in our life sometimes. I'm looking forward to the Lord coming. You know, before I got saved, I never looked forward to the Lord coming. Because then I didn't know what I was talking about. But now, since I am saved, I look forward to the Lord coming one day. And this is the evidence to me that I am a child of God. I want to see the one who died for me, folks, don't you?
Yes.
I want to see him face to face. One day I will, as the songwriter put it. Therefore, if I desire every day the Lord to come. You say, you mean, Brother Keith, you don't want to live another 10, 15 years? Well, if God don't want me to, I don't. I mean, really, there's not much in this world to live for, folks, really. Really, there's not. It's sin, 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 sin. We're here, all we're here for as children of God is to talk to people about the Lord, to love people and try to win people to Christ. That's our goal. That should be our motive as children of God. Therefore, if we're looking for the Lord to come, we want people that we know, we want loved ones that we know to be saved also too, don't we? Therefore, we're trying our best to talk to them about the Lord. If we're really looking for the Lord to come. Again, this is another evidence of being a child of God today. Assurance of our salvation. Evidence that we're saved. We also see, knowing this, but we see also in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We also know that we have evidence that we are saved is because we love our brother. We practice love. We love our believers, other believers. We love them. The Bible says if I don't love other Christians, I'm a liar. I'm a liar. His love is not in me. Because he loves all of us. He loves everybody. Therefore, we ought to love one another. Sometimes this is hard to do. We see that God will give us the ability, God will give us that desire to love people. If he has his free will in our life, if we're in real fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give us that desire. He'll give us that want to love people, to love other believers. So we see here another evidence that I'm saved because I love people. I love people that I used to did not love before I got saved. I did not like them, but now I do. Because there's a love within me. God's love is in me and in you as a believer. They enable us to love other people. We can't do it ourselves, folks. It's the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts to give us that love, to give us that desire. See, if we don't love people, we need to check up on our salvation. If we don't really love people. Now, we may not like their ways, but we still are to love people, to love people. We are, why, it's a good sign that we are a child of God, you see. So we see, we have love to other believers. Now, look at chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, another evidence that we are children of God. Look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Excuse me. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I know that I'm saved because God answers prayer. God answers prayer. Has God answered a prayer for you recently? I'm sure he has. If you're saved, anyway, God answers prayer of his children, folks. He answers our prayers. He may not answer when we want him to answer, but he doesn't answer them. It may not be now, but it will come. It will come. This past couple weeks ago, sometimes we're scheduled to do certain things at certain times. And we have to ask God to direct us in what we're to do, what we need. I could go into some things I won't go into this morning, how God answered prayer the last couple weeks for me. And things that I desire to do. One of those things was, of course, when we have our share-a-thon. We try to have food here for people that come to work. And we try to get businesses to offer food for us for advertising for them. And this is something I start praying about maybe a month ahead of time before share-a-thon. Because listen, I want God to be involved with this. Because this is God's radio here, okay? It's not mine. And I ask him to direct me where I need to go, what I need to do, who I need to ask. Because, you know, you go to a place and ask for food, the first thing they think about you, you're a beggar. Amen? You just want something for nothing, right? Well, this is not the way it is here. But nevertheless, I go and I ask. And when I go, if I pray, I found out, if I pray and ask God where He wants me to go to lay on my heart, well, most of the time it works out. Most of the time it works out. Now, I'm not saying I never have somebody say no to me. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that most of the time it works out. And two of the four that furnished food this year, both of them were Christians. Our Christian businesses. And both of them are closed on Sunday. To me, that's an answer to prayer. That's an answer to prayer. And those kind of people we need to support, folks. People that don't have their business open on Sunday. You know, Sunday is the Lord's Day, is it not? Amen. Come on now. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And we need to honor the Lord on Sunday. We really do. And these people that have these restaurants and businesses like this and don't open them on Sunday, God bless them. God bless them. He does. He does bless them, too. One of them that we had this past week, this year they're celebrating their 60th year. 60 years been in business. The father passed away about 10 years ago, and the son taking on the business right on and carrying it on, you see. So what I'm saying is, God does answer prayer, folks. He answers our prayers when we pray sincerely and seek His face and seek His guidance in our life every day. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad to know in your life today, every day, that you don't have to face this world alone? You can call upon God and ask God to direct you and show you and guide you in your life, and He'll do that. What a blessing it is, folks, as a child of God, to know that God does answer prayer. He does answer prayer. See, this is evident in my life. Do you know the only prayer that God has promised to hear from a lost person is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? But God's children, He'll answer our prayers. He'll answer our prayers because we belong to Him. And He's promised to supply every need that we have, folks. Every need that we have. And we're thankful for that today, to know that. Have you experienced answer prayer recently? Have you prayed? Have you trusted God to answer your prayers? He wants to, Christians. He wants to. He will if you ask Him to. He will if you ask Him to. We also see, also in 1 John chapter 4, turn back a page, 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 1, another evidence of salvation. Look at verse 1. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of who? God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Notice, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God knoweth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We see, as children of God, we're able to discern spiritual truths in our lives. Everything that you hear is not true, folks, in the world. It's not true. But as a child of God, you have the Spirit of God within you to enable you to be able to discern what's true and what is error. What is error? That's evident that you are a child of God. You've been saved. You've been saved, you see. There are many things that are proof to us that we are children of God. We see here, this is another one, discernment. Discernment. Knowing when you hear something, hey, is this right or is it wrong? You know, the world today are marketing people all the time about this, about that. You ever get any phone calls? You ever get anything in the mail? We have to discern, is this real or is it not real? Do we not? And only God can help us. Aren't you glad that you have the Spirit of God in you to help you discern what's right, what's good, what's not good? I'm thankful today for that myself. I really am. Now, look at chapter 5, verse number 1. First John chapter 5, verse number 1. Another evidence. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You have the Spirit of God. You believe the basic doctrines of faith. That is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you love him because of who he is. You love him because of who he is. So we see here, do you believe the basic doctrines of the Word of God? If you're saved, you do. You want to know them. You want to learn them. Therefore, your evidence is evidence that you are saved. You're a child of God. Now, notice something else. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Another evidence of being a child of God. This is one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You know, the capital spirit there is, of course, the Spirit of God. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Notice verse 18. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have a seal, folks. That is the Spirit of God that is within us to connect us with God and help us to know that we are a child of God. God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Aren't you glad to know that we have evidence of God in us to know that we are children of God? And it is His Holy Spirit that witnesses to us that we are children of God. The inter-witness, we have a witness within us. That's God's Spirit, that we are children of God. We are children of God. I'm so glad today we can have eternal life. I'm so glad today that we can be saved and know it. And there's many evidences in our life as we grow in the Lord to identify us as children of God and to help us to realize that we are children of God. It's just not the fact that we ask Christ to save us, and that's it, and we're saved. We have fellowship with God the Father and the Son. We're sensitive to sin in our lives. We want to obey the commands of God. We want to know the Word of God. Okay? We have the right attitude towards the world and sin in the world. We don't like it. We don't like it. We also love the Lord Jesus Christ and look forward to His coming any day if we're children of God. We also see that we do not practice sin. We're not sinless, but we do try to sin less, okay? That's what I'm saying. As children of God, we also experience answered prayers in our life as children of God. We also see that we have the inter-witness, that is the Spirit of God, within us to identify us. Now, also look in John chapter 15, St. John, that is, chapter 15. We'll close out here in just a minute. St. John chapter 15, look at verse 18. Excuse me. Jesus said this, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Amen? Do you ever feel like the world hates you? Well, remember that it hated Jesus before it hated you. Okay? This is an evidence for us. Verse number 19. If you were of the world, notice this now. If you were of the world would love his own. You remember before you got saved? The world loved you, you loved the world, right? Right? Am I right? You loved the world, and the world loved you. But notice, but because you are not of the world, But I have chosen you out of the world because you're saved now, Jesus said. Therefore, the world, what? Hates you. Hateth you. See, the world don't get along with you. You don't get along with the world. Remember the world. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So we see here, you experience sometimes persecution if you're a child of God. If you're a child of God. May the Lord help us as we realize today this thing of salvation. There's evidence in a person's life if you're a child of God. There's that evidence in your life. Thank God for the proof, or the pudding, so to speak, about being a child of God. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, dear God, for the Word of God that assures us, Lord, of who we are and who we belong to. We belong to you. Therefore, we want to grow. We want to love you. We want to serve you. Lord, we want to be a witness for you, and we want to do all we can. God, thank you for answering our prayers and all that you do for us, Lord, to assure us who you are, who we are as your child. Father, bless now your people here, everyone here. God, I pray everyone here is saved and know it. If not, God, I pray the Spirit of God will deal with their hearts even today and draw them to Christ before it's too late. Have your will and way now in the next service. And we'll thank you for all you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.